The following Forum for Healthcare Strategists podcast was produced by DrPodcasting.com.
This is a special podcast produced on-site at the 24th Annual Healthcare Marketing and Physician Strategy Summit, where we talked with speakers direct from the summit floor. With me is Don Stanziano, the Chief Marketing Officer at Geisinger. Don, thank you for being with me.
Thanks, Bill. Great to be here.
You bet. So your strategy session was on customer lifetime value. Can you just give us the quick overview of your strategy session?
Sure. So we had a good meeting this morning, good discussion and a lot of engagement with a group of folks talking about customer lifetime value, really taking return on investment in marketing and looking at it beyond just the episodic or one-time value that bringing a patient into your health system would bring to the organization, to the bottom line or the contribution margin, but calculating that over the course of time that customer is loyal to your brand. So over multiple years, that compounding impact of having a customer beyond just that one-time look.
So why is that important? It seems like we should have been doing this all along. Why are we talking about this now, right? So tell me, why is this now at the forefront? Why is this important now?
It's important now. And one of the things that really intrigued me about speaking about this topic and starting to implement this at Geisinger is some of the things that we're asked to market as marketers in healthcare are things that don't necessarily drive a lot of revenue to the bottom line in that initial customer engagement. Think primary care or a pediatric office visit, and a lot of the health and wellness initiatives that organizations are now taking on. There's a cost avoidance aspect to some of those. But with primary care, for example, the value of gaining a new primary care patient isn't seen in year one. The office visit revenue is not significant enough to justify the marketing spend. But if you look at where that primary care patient is going to engage with you over the course of 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, and maybe not just them, but their entire household, because if you target, like many of us do, the quarterback of the family's healthcare decision making, which is the woman typically in the family, if I can bring a 32-year-old mother of two and her husband into my health system by targeting her to choose one of our OBGYNs, again, that OBGYN visit annually is not going to bring a lot of revenue to the organization, but if her kids see our pediatricians, if her husband sees one of our internal medicine specialists, and then over the course of their time with us, what do we expect the downstream revenue to the organization to be? That helps me as a marketer make a better case for my marketing spend, the budget, and really the strategic value of the strategy that mm-hmm. we're employing in marketing. Why we want to target a certain segment versus another.
Right. Well, the old adage in marketing is it's easier to get a customer to come back to you once they've been there than to acquire a brand new customer. So on those same lines, that's what you're basically talking about. So how do we calculate customer lifetime value?
It's pretty simple, Bill. It's contribution margin, but then compounded over the course of whatever that time frame is that you define. And the beauty of the conversation this morning was, while there was a formula that was shared that can be applied, it was at a high enough level that you can, anybody who is at the session today could take it and modify it for their specific situation, because every market's different, every organization has different priorities. And so depending on what your strategy is, you can make that formula work for you.
Right. So customer lifetime value is important, as you've been telling us, Don. So can it also help shape target growth points and budgets as well? What else can we do with customer lifetime value?
Well, one of the things that we talked about this morning was the differentiation between acquisition marketing and retention marketing. To your point about it's easier to keep a patient or a customer than to get a new one. Looking at all those different touch points where one of our existing customers may be looking outside of our organization for services we offer. At Geisinger, for example, we have a retail pharmacy. And every time one of our patients goes to CVS to fill a prescription versus staying with us, That's a lost opportunity for revenue.
Right.
It also is a lost opportunity for us to engage with them in their health. So when you think about, you know, keeping data together, medical records, and having a singular view of our customers, whenever they're going outside, whether it's the pharmacy or they're going to a specialist in another health system, that fragments the experience. So we really want to keep them with us for all the things that we offer. And then, so one of the things we talked about this morning was helping marketers determine how much of their budget should be allocated to acquisition marketing versus retention marketing.
Right, that makes sense. So how do we put this into practice? You gave the example of a woman coming in for her OBGYN visit, but then later on her family coming back. She's got to have a really good customer experience to get her to want to come back or say to her family, I know where we're going. So how do you put this into practice?
Yeah, so this is just one small piece of a bigger strategy that you would have around determining you know, which segments you're going after, which campaigns you're launching, and then imploring those campaigns through like a customer relationship management platform. And then this math that you use to calculate customer lifetime value is applied to those different market segments, and you can use it to demonstrate ROI. I think it creates an opportunity to have more meaningful conversations with the finance departments in our organizations and to be at the table when we're talking about growth and retention. This is a conversation that for those of us who are chief marketing officers, the rest of the C-suite is using this when they're going to the finance leadership asking for dollars annually. We're competing with IT, we're competing with facilities and operations for that same dollar. So when we want to invest more in marketing, to be able to go forward and say, look, if we can bring in 1% more market share in this market segment, it will lead to X amount of additional dollars to the bottom line. That's right. An important argument.
Yeah. If we can spend this to get this, is it worthwhile? Well, yes, it is. So then let's do that.
That's exactly, you know, I think where this can go.
Yeah. So for the healthcare marketer listening to this right now, what's the first thing that person should do to start putting this into practice? What's most important to start with?
The first thing to start with is understanding the strategy of the organization and which market segments are most important. And I wouldn't get in the weeds. We had this conversation in the session this morning. We're running a lot of campaigns. Like Geisinger, I have over 80 different digital campaigns running right now. I'm not looking to create a customer lifetime value for all 80 of those campaigns.
Right.
I think at a high level, and a couple of segments that we were looking at Geisinger, because we're also a health plan as well as a health delivery network, the 65 year old who is purchasing Medicare Advantage insurance. That's an entry point into our organization. That's an opportunity for us to move somebody from a competitor to us. So I want to look at 65 and on. And then we looked at that 32 year old household decision maker and her needs. So I would say, you know, a handful of those segments is step one. Step two is getting with finance and understanding the contribution margin.
Right.
Of those segments.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah. And then, you know, putting that into practice through your marketing campaigns.
Right. Really good points. Very helpful, Don. Thank you. So before we let you go, though, I need to ask you, give me your top three priorities as a CMO.
My top three priorities as a CMO. Number one is I need to understand the business of our organization and being aligned to the strategies of our organization. What are we trying to accomplish so that marketing is supporting the organization's strategy, number one. Number two, making sure that I have the resources in place to build and implement the program that I need to support those strategies. So the people, the budgets, the technology, I mean, I'm kind of bundling a lot of things under these items, but I've spent a lot of time in my first year and a half at Geisinger focused on those two things, understanding the business of the organization and the market that we're in, or the markets that we're in, and two is making sure that I've got the pieces in place. And then the third, I think, is having the mechanisms and the processes to track measure and report on the effectiveness of your work. I think we can never overshare that. There's never too much information when it comes to how what we're doing and how we're adding value.
Right. So that's really good. So number one, understand the business of the organization. Two, are the resources in place? And number three, the process to track and measure.
Yep.
Really good stuff. Don, thank you for your time today.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks for asking. Thanks, Bill.
If you were unable to attend this year's Healthcare Marketing and Physician Strategy Summit, you can access the recordings from the sessions at healthcarestrategy.com/summit/playback. And please join us at next year's conference, April 5th through the 7th, 2020, at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas, and access our full podcast library for other topics of interest to you. Thanks for listening.